Howdy all, this is Shane. Welcome to the In the Blues Tone podcast. We're firing off another one for the month of March because I really need to update everybody on what's going on with the links and so forth to the podcast. So if you listen to it on YouTube, things will still keep getting posted as per normal. If you listen via iTunes, that should all be working fine too. But I have changed my website URL. So if you do listen on the web and you used to go to guitarpedaldemos.com, that website still exists, but I'm in the process of like dismantling some of that. So you'll go now to inthebluespodcast.com, which is so much better than guitarpedaldemos.com. So yeah, moving forward from last week, all the online episodes in full audio form will be at inthebluespodcast.com. Nice and simple. Recently, I went down to World of Music, my local guitar shop from my place, and I got to test out a whole lot of amplifiers, and I thought quite a few of you might be interested in my opinions and thoughts on some of these amps. So the first one I wanted to mention in this list is the Supro Royal Reverb amplifier. It's a bit of a tongue twister, that one, but yeah, it is amazing. It's got a power attenuator on the top, so you can go from like 35 watts to 45 watts to 60 watts. It's really quite small, but it's heavy, and man, it is an awesome amplifier. It's one of the best I've played in recent times. It's fantastic. A lot of their amps, I think, are pretty much bone dry. They don't have a lot of reverb and trem and all that kind of stuff. This one has tremolo, probably the best tremolo I've ever heard on an amp, or very, very close to. And the reverb is as nice as my Super Reverb amp, my Fender one, so it's awesome. It's actually probably a fatter sounding amp than my Super Reverb, and it only has two 10s, so this amp is really something else. I had a chance to play one a little while back that had a single speaker, no reverb, whatever. It was good, but I wasn't like overly blown away by it. The Royal Reverb is an absolute ripper, and there's some demos coming up on the channel about them. If you've had a chance to either play or try one, go do it. I don't think you'll be disappointed. They sound insane. I was lucky enough. I was in a studio there. I could turn it up to basically full blast at 35 and 45 watts, and it was singing. No pedals, just straight amp tone. And man, I was a huge fan. So while I can't really afford to be going out and splashing money on a new amp right now, that will be arguably the next amp that I'll buy at some point in time, unless something else comes along. But it really sings. It's for two 10s, it sounds super fat, it's super loud, it's got one of the sweetest, just, you know, valve distortion tones once you start turning it up. And the other thing I love about it, it's really simple. It doesn't have like 100 different options. You plug in, turn it up, and you're good to go. So the Supro Royal Reverb amp is something worth checking out. There's no doubt about that. Another one of the amps I've been dying to test out, and I've had a million different requests to demo, is the Roland Blues Cube. So this, I got a chance to demo the Artist amplifier, which I think is 80 watts through a single 12, and you can. It also has a power attenuator on the top, so you can flick it down to different wattages depending on if you're playing at home or doing a quiet sort of gig or jam or whatever. And then it goes loud. It can go extremely loud. I would put it as loud as my PV Bandit. It's a very different sound to the PV Bandit though. I honestly don't think a lot of videos really did it justice on YouTube. I'm not saying mine will be any better, but what I'm saying is, in person, these amps sound fantastic. So sometimes when you mic up amps, you don't get the full, you know, oomph of what you're feeling in the room. So I would keep that into, or take that into consideration when, you know, watching some demos on amps. It just doesn't, you don't really know how loud it is. I could say, man, that's really loud, but you sort of don't get a sense of it unless, of course, the microphones are clipping and spiking. I've had a lot of guys send me messages about this demo that's coming up basically through Facebook and so forth, and a lot of them changed the speaker. Some guys have put the Eminence Swamp Thing in the Blues Cube, and man, that would be an awesome upgrade. I didn't mind the stock speaker. I thought it sounded pretty good, but yeah, doing that would definitely be a good upgrade. So we've got some more amp demos on the way. There's a few others as well. I got to test some Vox amps as well as one of the new Blues Juniors as well. I got to do some comparison videos as well. So plenty of good content coming up on the YouTube channel. So keep an eye out. It'll be in the month of March, this month. So yeah, loads of great vids coming up. So lately on the In The Blues channel, you've seen a whole bunch of retro demos come up, and I'd like to thank Mojo Stompboxes for allowing me to demo this. It sort of opened my eyes to how great some of these old pedals are. I'm like totally blown away by some of them. Some of the overdrive pedals, for example, I think sound better than, you know, the current stock that they're selling. There's just some really great features on them. They're built like bricks, and it sort of, it made me wonder whether or not there's been any sort of evolution in some of these pedals. I don't mean to like single out any companies by any means. I mean, they all make still great stuff, but nothing's really changed, which surprised me. And I almost see like less features available on some of their current stock as opposed to some of their stuff from the 70s and 80s. So yeah, I just thought that was an interesting point to sort of, you know, put the question out there. Is new stuff in terms of pedals any better than the originals, or any better than what they had available back in the 70s and 80s? And I'm not sure it is, to be honest. It looks nicer, you know, the enclosures are better. I'm looking at some of them on the floor. But in terms of functionality, like I did a Maxon overdrive pedal that has a mid scoop and mid boost. It's sort of like a frequency that you can dial in and out. That's fantastic. I don't know any Maxon pedal currently that has that. This would cover all bases as well. You wouldn't just be stuck with one kind of sound. You can actually dial it out or dial it in, but maybe it's just a sales thing. Like they offer one pedal that's set a certain way and another pedal that's set another way. Some of these old pedals have way more functionality. They're still working after, you know, all this time, you know, 30 plus years. So they obviously did something right. And yeah, I just thought that was interesting. I mean, I don't expect new Maxon pedals to break down. They're built like tanks, but I'm using that as an example in terms of the evolution of pedals. I'm starting to question whether or not a lot of the new stuff is any better or different to a lot of the old stuff. And basically, I don't think it is. I think since the music's evolved, obviously, and there's a lot of pedals that are out now that wouldn't have been available back then, like the Pog 2, for example, those kind of pedals, stuff that takes on like digital circuitry, all that kind of stuff. But in terms of the analog pedals, yeah, I'm really blown away by some of these old pedals that I've had a chance to demo, and there's plenty more coming up. So if you are watching on YouTube, leave your comments below. Let me know what you think of some of these old pedals, if you've had a chance to play them or test them or even watch the videos, and in comparison with some new stuff. I know a lot of my audience would have had a lot of these pedals in the past as well. And that's not to sort of dismiss new gear. I love new gear. So what I'm trying to say is, if you have had a comparison between the old stuff and the new stuff, definitely let me know your thoughts on that. So the guitar industry is unlike any other industry pretty much out there, in my opinion. This is just going off the top of my head with some thoughts. Now, could you imagine if you went to a car dealer and you went to buy a brand new Jeep or a whatever, Chrysler, wherever you live, Holden, Ford, and they had another one sitting next to it that was all bashed up and relicked, you know, relicked and road-worn? You wouldn't want it. Like, who would buy a car that's $5,000 more expensive and it looks like crap? No one would want that. But it seems like the guitar industry has this sort of fascination with making things look old. I very rarely ever see anybody age their guitar just through playing it anymore. And it seems like one of those things that's just lost. You know, no one seems to play one guitar enough anymore to wear it out. Given some of the finishes on certain brands of guitars won't wear out. It's just the way that is too. But, you know, you can scuff it up. It can be naturally dinged if you bash it up against the wall by accident or it falls or whatever. So yeah, I just thought it'd be a funny comparison. You know, you go to buy a laptop or you go to buy a car, and you know, you've got an option of a road-worn one where it's got a cracked screen and, you know, a slower hard drive, and it's like, man, it's rusted out. You know, like, it's the only industry where the consumers or the musicians pay more for something that's old. I couldn't think of another one. It just, maybe furniture. You know, if you're buying from a place that specializes in like an antiques dealer. But that's sort of different, you know. It's just an odd thing to want to buy relict instruments over a new instrument that you can kind of add your own personality to over time. Now, before you flame the comments, yes, I've played Relict guitars and I love the dry neck. I would take that drier sort of neck finish over a high gloss most of the time. But, you know, if it's a satin finish, it usually feels pretty good. My 60 or 56 Les Paul reissue, slightly Relict. It's got little bits of rust on certain parts, which is, you know, it didn't really need that, but they put it on anyway. But the finish is high gloss and it feels great. So I think it's specific to certain instruments that will make, and the player, of course, to choose if they think the Relict one is better. But I'd love to hear some thoughts on the whole Relicking thing, if it's gone too far now and too many companies are doing it, or whether or not you're still digging it. Because I know when I buy stuff now, I just want it to look, I want it to look new. It's weird, but it's just the way that it is. Unless I'm buying something that's secondhand and it's already been beat up, which is rare, but if something came up, I would do it. I still want it to look good. So yeah, that's my thoughts. And lastly, my 52 reissue Telecaster that you've seen on a million videos on YouTube, all the, you know, the marks, the cracks, all that stuff has happened through use. It's got some black stains on the body from where my rhythm hand goes and all that kind of stuff. So that doesn't wash out. So it's you know, part of the, it's part of its heritage now, and the fact that it's just been used, and I didn't have to buy it Relict for an extra, you know, $300. So yeah, the industry's funny. It's a funny industry, and yeah, I wonder if they'll be doing Relict pedals pretty soon as well. So this section of the podcast is for undiscovered guitars. So if you are watching on YouTube, I highly recommend you comment and tell us about some companies that you've seen or heard of that aren't well known. So not Fender and Gibson, all that kind of stuff, but other companies. Part of the live stream today, we spoke and showed some Lancaster guitars from New Zealand, and man, they are fantastic. I'll put some pictures on the screen so you can check them out. I hadn't heard of these before, and they're unlike any other guitar that I've seen in a long, long time. They also make basses as well. Some of the wood that they've made out of has been underground for like 3,000 years or something. It's mental. It really is mental. So they're beautiful, beautiful instruments. And it, you know, brings up the question of who else is out there making great instruments that we don't know of. And there's lots of guitar companies. There's lots of amp companies doing stuff. But if you've seen something that stands out, let me know in the comments, because I want to actually approach some of these guys, have a chat to them, all that kind of stuff as well. Maybe invite them onto the Google Plus stream that we do on YouTube, or even onto the podcast. So if you are watching on YouTube, feel free to leave comments. And if you're listening on inthebluespodcast.com, you can leave some comments via the Facebook plugin there as well. You can also email me at intheblues@outlook.com. But for sake of ease, just fire a message onto one of those sites and I'll get it, absolutely. So yeah, they are beautiful, beautiful looking guitars, and I'd love to find more of these undiscovered gems. So a huge thanks to Paul from New Zealand, or New Zealand, who joined the live Google Plus Hangout on YouTube today, the live stream. And yeah, just seeing something like these guitars made me think, man, what other great guitars are out there that a lot of people won't know of, and in your area as well. So feel free, post some links, post some, you know, some details. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to see some more of these kind of killer guitars. Cheers. One thing that's dawned on me recently in demoing some distortion pedals and fuzz pedals, especially like the sort of the higher gain, some Big Muff style pedals, is that once you add a certain amount of drive to your signal, it almost doesn't matter what guitar you play. They all sound the same. The change or the coloration of the pedal basically transforms the sound altogether. I'm gonna put a video up about this as well. I'm gonna play like a Strat, a Telecaster, and a Les Paul on a video. You're not gonna see any of them. And I'm gonna layer up the distortion and see if you can hear the difference in tone. I was shooting a video the other day and it was so minimal, like I couldn't tell the difference. It just sounded the same. Like it added that much drive and coloration to my sound that, you know, what I'm trying to say is, unless you're playing clean or just off clean, I'm starting to wonder whether or not it really makes a difference once you start adding lots of gain, irrespective of the pickups, irrespective of this and that. I think it does matter to some extent if you've got single coil Telecaster pickups like vintage wound ones, and then you click on a distortion pedal, sometimes that can squeal. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if you've got pickups and guitars that don't squeal with gain, can you actually physically hear a difference? So if you've got a Les Paul and you've got a Tally or whatever, crank up a, you know, a big muff style pedal or whatever and go for it and let me know your thoughts, because, you know, in a recording situation here that I have at home, it's very hard for me to actually hear the difference through studio monitors. The tones are very, very similar. So yeah, I just thought I'd like to hear some thoughts and feedback on that as well. If you are a guitar player and you do have more than one guitar, crank up the dirt. And I'm not talking about like off clean. I mean, crank it up, man. Grab a distortion pedal, grab a fuzz pedal, dime it, and let me know your thoughts. Can you hear a difference once you add gain? So just a little food for thought there. And yeah, let me know your thoughts. Thanks so much for listening. My name's Shane. You've been listening to the In the Blues Tone podcast, coming at you from iTunes or YouTube and also at inthebluespodcast.com. So guitar pedal demos, as mentioned, has sort of been retired from the podcast side of things. This new WordPress website is a lot cleaner than the old one, so it should make navigation and finding things 100 times easier at least. So yeah, I hope you like that. It's nice and fast. For those who heard about my website woes, I'm in the process of moving a few other ones across. And don't forget, check out the In the Blues Tone Shop at intheblues.com.au. I have some new used / ex demo products on there, and some new products as well. So yeah, there's some killer stuff going up, and check out the new clone I have. It's the best one so far by a mile. I'm going to do a video of that coming up pretty soon. So thanks again for listening. Don't forget, share the podcast with folks that you know that like guitar stuff, and I'll catch you all on the next one. See ya.